Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You ever notice life can be a real battle? I mean, and I don't mean just because of, you know, other people. I mean, just life's a battle. It's a struggle sometimes. And this is not a depressing thing. This is not a, you know, oh man, what a morbid outlook. Why did I come to church and listen to this guy? It just is. And sometimes the battles are more obvious. Sometimes we make the battles bigger than they are, right? Yeah, right? I heard a coach yell to his players yesterday at a basketball tournament. I heard him yell out there, "Why are you making this so difficult?" I thought, yeah, you know, they really are. And sometimes we do. We make things more difficult. We make battles bigger than they are. Maybe it's, you know, because we're tired or we're hungry or probably something more like we don't really read his word. Did you hear that? It was really quiet. Because, you know, that is really our food, right? I mean, you know, it's Jesus had food that we know not of, you know. And it was to do the will of the Father and hear the Father and his word and his directives. And that feeds us. Granted, we need natural food, but, you know, sometimes we make things bigger than they are because we're not in his word. We're not, you know, staying connected to him. He's the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't want to give you a wrong idea here, but the Holy Spirit contends with us. He strives with us. He keeps working and drawing us. It's like he's chasing us around, you know, the hound of heaven chasing us saying, hey, stay connected. Stay here. I want to tell you, I want to help you through this. This is not as big a deal as you're making it, or this is a really big deal. And so, you know what? You need to stay close to us because we want to help you. That's what we need, whether we're in a battle at the moment or we're not. And I don't know what you face or what you're in, but I want us to look at Deuteronomy chapter 20. And we're going to start with verse 1 because it's, you know, every time we kind of go out the front door of our apartment, our house, whatever, you know, we just kind of fly out and think, do I have everything? We're thinking about where we're going and where's my keys. And, you know, in the middle of January, some of you might be going out, I wish I had a remote start, you know, climbing into a cold. But every time you go out the door, it's like you're walking out to battle. You're walking out to war, so to speak. And sometimes we lose sight of that because we get caught up in all this other stuff. And we lose sight that, you know, we're kind of going out to war, in a sense. And some of us, maybe that happens before we even go out the door. It's just throwing back the covers in the morning. And it says here, Deuteronomy chapter 20, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you're about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward. The priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, "Hear, O Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." The officers shall say to the army, we're going to pause on that. We're going to get to that. I want to make a few comments about these verses that we've kind of already started on here. You know, right out of the chute, he says, you know, when you go out and you see horses and chariots and an army that is greater than yours. And sometimes when we face a battle or a struggle or we go out and we feel like we're in this war, you know, we size up the opposition. And whether the opposition to you is the enemy himself at this battle, oppressive forces of the spiritual realm, or whether you feel it's a person, or it's a committee, or it's just a circumstance, situation of life, or those who don't know the Lord, and you just feel this battle and this war, and you size it up and you think, you know, they're bigger than me. They've got more resources than me. I'm just one voice. Or you might feel like you're kind of alone. And whatever it is, or this just keeps hassling me. It's like it doesn't go away and I'm trying to beat this thing. Whatever that thing is to you. And maybe you're here this morning and you're going through it. You're in it right now. For some of you, maybe it's like, I got a little reprieve here. Don't feel a real strong battle. But, you know, as you have breath and life goes on, chances are we're going to face some more. And that's just reality. We're not running around looking for it. Our eyes are on the Lord. But, you know, along the way, there are some battles to be fought. There's some wars to be won. There's a, you know, an idea that we take things by force. Now, we don't wage war as the world wages war. Paul writes about that in Corinthians, you know. And sorry, I'm making reference to some other scripture passages without giving you all the references, but you can look these up or catch this on the podcast or get the CD, and you can make reference yourself and look those up. But, you know, when we see whatever it is we face, and we feel intimidation, we feel insecure. It's real clear here that if we belong to the Lord, we are God's people, and He is our God in our personal life, as a church body, as a church around the world, if we understand that there are moments where our enemy looks larger or scarier or bigger, and we are intimidated, you know, He gives real instructions here. He gives real instructions for us to follow. It says, don't have fear. And then it's interesting, as He says, as you look at an army that's greater than yours, but do not be afraid of them, because, listen, this is where you and I need to open up our ears and really take in this understanding, because it's not about the size of the army or the opposition that we face. Our eyes get fixed on that. Our human thinking gets fixed on that. But the Lord says, don't be afraid, because. Now, He doesn't always give us a reason. Sometimes it's just trusting Him. But here He gives us a reason. He says to Israel at the time, He says, the reason you don't have to be afraid before them is because, remember, I am the one who took you out of Egypt. Egypt is where they were in slavery, right? They served Pharaoh. They were oppressed. They were slaves. They were beaten. They were killed. They were thrown away. And God took, through miraculous events and His involvement and using a man like Moses and some others, that he brought His people out of Egypt. He was bringing them to a promised land. And it says here, don't be afraid of your enemies, because I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. Now, Egypt to you and I is that He brought us out of slavery. What were we enslaved to? Sin, right? You guys are smart. We were enslaved to sin before God. Egypt represents sin. It, to us, we were in bondage. Sin had its way with us. We acted like we were in control, and that's the trickery of sin, and that we can handle life and live how we want, and we call that freedom. And reality is, we were deceived, and we weren't free at all. Sin controlled us. Sin ran rampant in our heart and drove our desires. Hurt ourselves, lost our way with God, hurt others, etc. He says, hey, brought you out of Egypt. Brought you up out of Egypt. I will be with you. Listen, here's the thing. God does not save us from sin to give us, hey, here's forgiveness. Let's be good for a little while. And, you know, now you're on your own. Ha ha, joke's on you. Got to tease you a little bit. That is not God. He finishes the work he starts. He finishes it. He didn't save us to then throw us away. He saved us to have relationship with us. He saved you, brought you out of sin so that he could have fellowship with you and friendship with you and show himself to you. Why? It's real simple. He loves you. There is no human explanation. I mean, we can come up with reasons why God would do this and he, you know, all these things. But the bottom line is, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die, crucified, pay for our sins. Why? Because he loved us. He loved us. Turn to the person next to you and say, he loves you. I don't care if you're visiting and no, I'm just turning to say, he loves you. Come on. If you're sitting by yourself in a pew, turn around and say, hey, somebody tell me. Listen, he loves you. How many of you know that love is not always something that makes sense in the human mind? It just, we can't always grasp it. But God is love. He cannot help himself as if it was a weakness. He loves. He didn't save you to throw you away. He didn't bring you out of the sin and the past and reveal himself to you to tease you and then say, ha ha, I'm gone now. You're on your own. I'm going to abandon you. It's not who God is. It's not what he's like. You can read his word. It tells who he is. It's not what he's like. It's not how he treats people. So we respond to his love and understand that there's real battles in this life. And when we face opposition that is bigger than us, and we don't have the resource, or we don't feel the wisdom, or we don't feel the strength, or whatever it is, don't be afraid. Why? Because God has taken you out of sin and restored you to him, not to abandon you. That is why you don't have to be afraid against enemies who appear to be bigger than you. You don't have to be intimidated. Hey, now don't get cocky. Don't get arrogant. Don't strut around. It's just a confidence in God. And that his promise is true. His promise is bigger than the enemies we face. You know, there's a lot of do's in the scripture. I want us to look here in this passage at some of the do nots. Okay? The do nots. Verse 3, he shall say, hear, O Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Okay, life started and we're going out to war and God has a purpose. So here we are. Do not, say it, do not. Be faint-hearted, do not be afraid, do not be terrified, do not give way to panic, do not yield to panic before them. Don't be faint-hearted. In other words, don't lose heart. You know, it's so great in the locker room. Now, I don't know if you relate to this. It's, you know, if you're an athlete, you'll relate this. If you had a team sport, you'll really get this. You're in the locker room. You're all suited up. Practice is over. The game plan is in place. And then you just start shaking and vibrating. You do. You vibrate. It's just electric. And you're banging each other and hitting each other and smacking each other and yelling at each other. And you lose your mind and you do stupid things and split your head open on lockers. Because you get in such a frenzy. You know, watched two guys in the locker room football, and they had their uniform on, and were, ah, and they just looked at each other and went, ah, ah, and then they forgot they didn't have their helmets on. I mean, it's like these moments we have with God in an altar, in a private place, or at camp, or somewhere, and you, oh, this is so great, this is so cool, and, oh, yeah, come on. And then you run out onto the field. And then the other team looks bigger. And their school mascot is like the Red Devils. Those of you from Kenosha, you'll remember Bradford. And if you went there, I'm sorry. We were more militant over at Tremper High School. We were the Tremper Trojans, you know, the big helmet. And, oh, we were, ah, you know. You go out and they look bigger. Across the field, they don't look too bad, but then you go out for the toss of the coin. All you're doing is staring into the guy's numbers. You know, they're, Dustin, stand up. Yeah, guys like that. You know, tall, wide, muscular, low body fat. Dude, put a football, put pads on this guy. I mean, he's not wearing any this morning. I don't know if you can tell that, but put pads and a helmet on this guy. You know, wow. Then they tell you he's a freshman. You know, and all of a sudden you forget all the buzz in the locker room. You stare, your heart starts to sing, oh, we don't have a chance. Oh, we're not going to win. They're too big. And the buzz of the locker room is gone, and you're out there, and all of a sudden, your heart sinks. You, at that point, are disheartened. Your passion is gone. It's like, I hope the clock goes fast. I hope the game gets over with. My son came to me yesterday because they beat a team that they would never expect to beat. Afterwards, I talked to him and about the game and how he played and all these things, and they won, and won by 5 points. And he said, yeah, I went out there kind of like, I'm going to try hard and play, but I know we're not going to win. And I said, what did you learn? What did you learn? Don't be disheartened. In your battle, whatever you face, don't be disheartened. Don't be afraid. Do not be terrified. Listen, when we get terrified and we get scared and we get fearful, we just lock up. We want to become invisible, and we just want to stay where we are, and we don't want to do anything. And we just feel defeated and disheartened, and it's like now you're going to beg for mercy from your enemy. I really like when it says, don't give way to panic. Oh, and I'm sorry I'm drawing so many conclusions from sporting events and things like this, but it's just one of the things that I relate to, and if you don't, yeah, and you relate to something else with panic, let me put it to you this way. Let's say you saw a sweater at a store you really wanted, and the next day you saw an ad in the paper that said sale, and you know that on the rack there was only one left in your size, and you have to drive from here to Onalaska to the mall to get it. And what you feel at that moment, okay, is panic. All right, so there. I tried to relate to the rest of you. Now we'll get on with the sports analogy. panic. We hurry, we scurry, we get hasteful. We get jittery, we make mistakes, we don't think clear, we feel the pressure, we feel the crunch, we feel a time element, we feel out of control, and you're trying. You'll see this happen with athletes. You'll see this a lot. You go to a high school basketball tournament, you will see this a lot. All of a sudden, the defense will put on a full court press. Okay, if you don't know what that is, just real quickly, the defense is going to guard you the whole court, not just wait for you to come down to the end where they're guarding the goal. Okay, guarding the basket. They are going to pressure you every time you get the ball. Whoever has it, they're pressuring the ball. They're guarding everybody else. And, of course, you got to get it across half court in less than 10 seconds. That sounds like a lot of time to you until you have guys like Dustin guarding you, you know. And your other guys aren't getting open. You dribble the ball and stopped. Oops. Nobody's open. You got to get the ball across half court in 10 seconds. You're down by two. There's only 12 seconds left on the clock. You know, all of this stuff going on. And all of a sudden you start to panic and you don't know what to do. And you can't dribble and the guys aren't open and they're not moving. And the coach is yelling and the fans are cheering. And you don't think. He says, don't give way to panic. Don't give way to worry. In other words, keep your wits about you. Remember who took you out of slavery, out of sin. And when things are racing around you, it doesn't require that you have to race. See, one of the great things about, well, basketball, for example, since I was talking about that, you know what? It's wonderful to make the other team play your pace of basketball because it frustrates them. Just because they're running doesn't mean you have to. You can slow the game down. You can slow it down. You'll watch this with players. The other team is a running team. They're a fast team. They are running, and they will run a high-paced game. And you know what will happen? They'll start running and racing, and they're playing a team that is not a great fast-break team. They're a real, you know, kind of set-up-the-play team, all right? And they'll start running, and you know what happens? The other team will start running like that, panicking, picking. They'll play their pace of game. It happens all the time. It's not what they're good at. The other team is making them play that way. All they have to do is slow it down. Slow it down. Make them play your game. They panic, and so they just start. Listen, you don't need to lose your head. You don't need to panic. Things may seem like it's not going your way. It doesn't mean become lazy. It's just remember who's taken you out of sin and has a plan for your life, and he's not going to abandon you. So when you face opposition and you face enemies and you face dark hours, and we all do, including the guy on this platform, me, we all face war in our life. And the do-nots, we must remember, do not fear, do not be disheartened, do not get terrified, do not panic in the presence of your enemies. For it says, the Lord will be with you. Now, remember this, before the Lord can be with you in the battle, it's really good if we're with the Lord before the battle. It's really good if we have relationship with him just in life. So when the battles come, we already have relationship with him. It's not a, oh man, things are going tough. I'd better go to church. I'm sorry, if you're here this morning, the first time in a long while, because something's going on in your life again, and you can blame it on a whole bunch of other things, and I know there's legitimate reasons from time to time. Hey, I live in real life, I get that. But you know what? It happens. There are people that come, something happens in their life, they come to see me, next week they're in church, and then the second week they might be in church, and then I don't see them again for months, and then after that something happens in their life, they're back in my office, and then you know what, the next week they're in church, and then they're gone again for months. And they run on a cycle like this. If you're here this morning, it's not a purpose to offend you. I'm just saying, you know what? Hopefully your relationship with the Lord is beyond church. But if your relationship with the Lord is close, I know that it includes church. Because you're committed to his body. You're following scripture. The teaching of fellowship. And what the body of Christ is. So for him to be with us in the battle and war, it's really good if we're with the Lord and he's with us way before any battles and wars happen in our life. Because you got a built relationship. A steadfastness that goes on. Remember the Lord that goes with you into the battle. That is what I want us to grab out of this. And I know this morning I'm just kind of sharing real plainly just some things. I don't even know if it's preaching. I'm just kind of sharing some things out of this passage just because I felt maybe some of you are really going through some difficult times, and I want to remind you the Lord's for you. He's not against you. Take courage. He didn't save you just to throw you away or tease you. He's got a plan for you. I want to make a little side note here too. Because sometimes you think being holy doesn't involve enjoying anything. I'm just telling you, some of you have that idea. That being holy means you can't enjoy anything. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. Okay? Doesn't mean we're excessive with anything. We're supposed to enjoy all things with moderation. And all things, meaning all things that he created and have is appropriate, according to scripture, for a Christian person. He says this, then the officer shall say to the army, has anyone built a new house and not dedicated it? Let him go home and he may die in battle and someone else may dedicate it. Well, now, that's kind of cool. Check this out. Has anyone planted a vineyard and not begun to enjoy it? Then let him go home. Let him leave the military right now. Let him leave as a soldier. That he may, because otherwise he may die in battle and someone else is going to enjoy it. Has anyone become pledged to a woman and not married her? Then let him go home because he may die in battle. It's better that he battle with her than here. Oh, no, wait, that's not what it says. I'm sorry. You are listening. If he's pledged to her, go home so he doesn't die in battles. Otherwise, someone else will marry her. In other words, go enjoy this relationship. Then the officer shall add. Now, this is really, see, I want you to catch, just, this is just a side note. You know, God wants you to enjoy things in life. You know, even in the midst of war and battle and all the things that go on, you know what? Can you walk with a joy in the Lord? And things are tough, and they do weigh on us, and we all kind of lose the joy for a moment sometimes. We got to get back to the Word. We got to remember that he's with us in the battle, and you know what? It's okay to enjoy things. You hear that? And give appropriate thanks to the Lord. There are things that you have toiled for that you should enjoy. Doesn't make it a sin. Now, if that becomes your whole treasure and your whole goal, then you know what? You're missing it. You're missing it. You're not enjoying it. It owns you. And that's the difference. It can look the same on the outside, but God sees the heart. He knows the motivations behind it. So, not everything in life has to be a battle and everything has to be about war. There's moments that you can enjoy things. Even in the middle of difficult times. But don't lose your sight that God is with you. There's still a battle to be fought. There's a war to be won. And we're about the kingdom of God's business in our life. And we've got to be aware of the do nots. It says this. This is something great. Is any man afraid or faint-hearted? Then let him go home so that his brothers will not become disheartened. I want to speak to the ministry of discouragement. Robbing other people's passion, faith, strength, hope. I want to speak to you. I want you to know that the ministry of discouragement, which is really not a ministry, it's a tool of the devil to discourage people. I want you to know that our lack of faith, our negative word, our skepticism, our giving our opinion that is contrary to God's word, and yet we make it sound holy because it's coming from a Christian. When it comes to battle and war and what people are facing, it's right here in God's word. You know what? Better you just stay home than dishearten a bunch of people. Because they're about to go into battle and war, and God is going to be with them, and they're facing something. And you know what? Disheartening them, discouraging them, casting a little thing on them, or, oh yeah, I went through that, let me tell you how it didn't turn out so good. Why do we throw in our story? Unless it's a story of faith. And let me confirm, God will be with you. Listen, the ministry of discouragement should really not exist in the church. Sorry, I'm just checking things out over here. She's perfect. I mean, you know, she was born into sin, but she's perfect. Justin and Brittany, you're doing so good. I'm so pleased for you. I could tell you, I know this isn't part of the message, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. I get a picture text every once in a while. It's a close-up of her. All these different faces she makes, Jim. Oh, you love it. Oh, yeah. Little text that says, I miss you. I love you. So I took a picture of me this morning, smiling. And I texted back, the picture text back. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. But there's phones out you can actually get a picture on now. If it's on a long cord at home, well, you aren't going to get it. Big smile. I said, you make me smile really, really, really big. Friends, I want you to pay attention to this because you know what it is to be in a battle and a war, and there are people around you this morning that are in battles and in wars in their own life. And it would be better for you to stay home than to come with a ministry of discouragement or a word that disheartens. They're facing a battle. They need the buzz of the locker room and the presence of God, the prayer closet. And God goes with them out onto the battlefield of life in the war that rages around them. That they don't need anything to lead them to being afraid. They don't need something to try to rob them of courage or faith. They need people around them who will love them and provoke them to the good deeds, to the life of faith. There's nothing wrong with coming inappropriately and telling somebody you're going through a battle, you're going through a hard time. But when somebody comes to you with a battle or a hard time or a difficulty, you listen. Do not try to top their story with the pain that you're going through. It's like you didn't even hear them. And now you made it all about you. I'm not telling you that you can't share with somebody what you're going through. Absolutely you can. Because you and I need a word of encouragement, a word of strength. And there's nothing wrong with sharing together. It should happen. But we've got to be attentive to the war and the battle that we're going through, but the war and the battle that our brothers and sisters go through. And you know what? It would be better for us to stay home than to dishearten them. You think about that. Now listen, don't take this out of context and think, oh yeah, I don't feel real encouraging this morning, I think I'll skip church. That's don't use things out of context. You know, things, and it's not just the words we share. Sometimes it's the expression we give. And we know that people can misunderstand things about us. We all get misunderstood all the time. But you know, it's even the way that we live our life. It's the way that we conduct our life. It lets people know whether a word from you counts. It matters. Are you a person that's trustworthy? Are you a person of faith? Are you a person who's acquainted with real battles and real life, and yet, you know what? You're looking to the Lord all the time. That's the person that will help. That's the person that we want to be around that inspires us to keep heart, not to be disheartened. Listen, when people are up and down and back and forth as a pattern, we're all up and down and back and forth for little moments sometimes when we're facing stuff and it's a process and we're working things out. Hey, happens to all of us, understood. But when we start building a pattern of in and out and back and forth, or you're jumping over here, or jumping over there, or you're threatening to do this, or you're threatening to do that, and I didn't like this, and I don't, you know what? Make up your mind and choose. Because you know what? That disheartens people. And it affects the spiritual atmosphere for people, even in this place. And here's the thing. People around you may not always recognize it, but the spiritual realm recognizes it. It's invisible maybe to other people's eyes, but the spiritual realm understands it and sees it clearly. And is this a place of faith? Is this a place of hope? Are these a people who are acquainted with real battles, but they're really ready to say, you know what? I'm going to stay encouraged. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to give way to panic. I am going to trust the Lord. I want to walk through this with a level head and with my eyes on the Lord. And yes, I'm going to wage war, and I'm going to head into this, and it's going to be tough, and I'm going to get knocked around. I might get bruised. I might get a little beat up. Not everybody's going to understand it, but you know what? There are those who've encouraged me, and my eyes are on the Lord, and He's going to see me through. There, Lord, listen, the Lord wants to bless us prior to the battle. He wants the blessing of being in the battle is that He's with us. That's the blessing, is that He's with us. And after we come through it, let me tell you what the blessing, after we come through battles and wars and the Lord has brought victory on our behalf and we have obeyed Him with the do nots, there's plunder. Now, the motivation isn't plunder. The motivation is to know the Lord and to be obedient to Him. And if we're obedient to Him, then after the battles, there's plunder. There's always blessing. Always. It's just who the Lord is. It's the principle of battle and war and warfare and struggle. It's not just relief, it's over. There's plunder. The Lord brings us through. He always leaves a blessing. You look at any of the battles where they obeyed Him and followed Him, and afterwards, even in this chapter, it talks about plunder. And the motivation isn't the plunder. It's about advancing God's kingdom here on earth and God advancing His kingdom in our life. And battles prove that. Struggles prove that. Difficulties prove that. The fire of trials worketh, right? I don't know what you face, but I'm going to tell you this. You get close to the Lord, and you will know Him in the battle. You obey the do nots. Don't go home with anxiety and all fear-stricken and what if and what if and what if and what if and what if. Focus on the do nots, not the what ifs. The what ifs will come into your mind, and it's good to be aware, what if, and you play out some scenarios, but don't get wrapped up in that. Do not get wrapped up in that. What does His word say, and who is He? And He's the one who saved me from sin, and you know what? Brought me out of Egypt, brought me out of slavery, not to throw me away, not to abandon me. He has a purpose for me. And so you know what? His purpose is going to outlive this struggle and this battle if I obey Him. And if I obey Him through this, I will know His presence in my life during the battle. He will be there. Whether I feel Him or not, my faith tells me He's there. And the blessing of knowing He's there, and afterwards, and He brings me through, then you know what? There will be blessing afterwards. There will be a great celebration. It will be a growth in faith. You'll be an encouragement to other people. You can celebrate the Lord. It can be a good time. Always. You're right, Sam. Always. Always. Even in the middle of battle and difficulty, listen, we all have long faces from time to time. I can get one. Hey, we can all get one. But listen, some of you, that's the only face you've had. And I'll tell you this, it disheartens people. Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, you're right. All I know is what the Word says. And I've got to remember it for my life. Just as a man. Not just as a pastor, and you know, but as a man. Not a man with a title, just a man. So I don't know what you face, but I'll tell you, God wants to be with you. God wants to be with you. He's willing to be with you. He didn't bring you out of sin to abandon you. He brought you out because he loves you, and he has a plan for you, and he has a purpose for you. Yeah, but what is it? Just follow him. Just follow him. Follow him. He'll see you through tough times. Yeah, but what if another? That sounds like fear to me. Yeah, but, you know, that's for everybody else. But for me, you know, what if? Well, no, no. That sounds like you're getting terrified. Sounds like panic is getting your soul. Catch yourself. Talk to yourself like that. Let the Holy Spirit use your mouth to speak to you. I've had to tell myself. It's just the way I express it. It's just like my dog. Sometimes, no. Done that with the horse. Move over. I talk to myself like that. You come up with your own word. I'll tell you. Pay attention. He wants to be with you. Pay attention to the do nots. He brought you out not to abandon you. He wants to bless you with his presence in the difficulty of the battle and the war. And you know what? You obey him. There will be plunder. There will be blessing after the battle. There will be. It's just the way it is. I don't care if the battle is a spiritual battle. I don't care if it's a battle in life. Listen, you don't have to be mean. You just got to stand in faith. Be wise. Be wise. Be wise.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.